Well, good evening, folks. Here we are, April 21st, p.m. evening service, part two of a spring and summer series, although the picture I have on the website is a picture of snow, because we still have snow here. Temperature this morning when I came up to the school here was 29, and it had rained, and it was like skating up to the school, but it's melted now. The sunshine comes out. So we are going to embark on a series, but there's so many different subjects that we're going to deal with over the spring and the summer. This gives me something to work towards. And what it is, I'll bring it up again tonight for those that were gone this morning. I'm going to put it back up to, I hope Gold Ray, you stay through this thing tonight. I'm going to put it back down so I don't know when you leave or if you do, or anybody else. So we're looking at what I consider to be the explainable mysteries of God. Now, we've been over this before in detail, so I'm not going to go into detail because it's on site. It's on my website if you want to find the detail, all the scriptures that deal with it. But once I realized rightly dividing was going to Paul only and the risen Savior and looking at the Old Testament, the Gospels, Old Testament, and Hebrews to Jude as a tribulation of books, I mean, these mysteries, Paul explains them all. And Paul says he would. So, but we're not going to stop at the mysteries of God. We're going to get into the mysteries of life. Exploring and explaining and understanding these mysteries that so many people with their unknown God have no clue about. And in fact, their Baptist pastors or their Paulish pastors teach them as mysteries. We don't understand this. We don't. Paul explains them. So the mysteries of life is more of what I want to get into. And I'm doing this for younger people. My mind and my heart is gearing, I'm going to gear these things to younger people. More specifically, even teenagers, if that's possible. I know too many teenagers, when I talk to these guys about God or Bible or whatever, they so have no clue. And so, let me just read through some of the subjects I'm going to deal with again. These are mysteries. For example, the mysteries of God. We'll deal with that tonight. But then the mystery of the power of music. People don't understand the power that is it within music. So we'll explore that, we'll explain that, and we'll have an understanding of music. Where is God? The kids will ask, where is God today? Why does God allow this stuff to go on today? So, you know, we'll deal with that. Why is religion so confusing? Well, you got so many teachings, so many denominations, so many Bibles, so many hypocrites. They see all these hypocrites out there. They see tons of unanswered prayer. They see tons of hatred preached when there's supposed to be love, and they see tons of love when hatred is preached, you know. They got all this emphasis on worship. They hear about Peter, they hear about Paul, they hear about Jesus, they hear about Moses. Well, they don't really hear about Paul all that much. Mostly Peter, Jesus, and Moses, but Abraham, that kind of a thing. They ask questions like, do I even need religion? Because I don't want what I've seen. Questions like, does God care about me? If so, how? I mean, I don't see him caring. And then we are going to deal with, probably right away, the mystery of teenagers. I mean, they are a mystery. Teenagers can't begin to understand themselves, let alone what the school curriculums are trying to get teenagers to do, to understand. It's not possible. So the pressure that's put on teenagers today is horrible. I've got here, we'll probably discuss challenges and the destruction of marriage in our country these days. And then we'll look at the increase in the growth of perversions. Why? How is that coming about? When the same people 50 years ago or 20 years ago were against gay marriage and now they're for it, for example. You know, how did that happen? What's going on here? Truth. When the Bible says in these days there will be people ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why is that? Why can't they do that? That's education for you right there. But anyway, salvation. Which way? Which one? is it even needed? When God says, when pastors and people say, you know, God loves you, why do they need salvation if God loves them? Well, God isn't going to send me to hell because he loves you. Yeah, that whole round. Just explain some of that stuff. I don't understand this, although I do understand it, but I don't understand it. How can people quit the Paul stuff? If they really truly got a hold of it, then how can they quit the risen Savior, the teachings from the risen Savior, the goodness of God? And we have to be careful. Some people haven't quit. They just get the life going like it is, and they seem to disappear. It is so good to have Peter Massachusetts back. I mean, it is like it made my week, Peter, when I heard from you. I was just wondering, where is Peter? I've been trying to email him. I've been trying to write to him. I don't know how to get a hold of this guy. What happened? Is he dead? Was he killed in a jihad? Was he attacked? Was he bombed? Did he give up? I don't think he gave up, because I don't understand. We don't give up on Paul's stuff. There's nothing there to give up. It's too fantastic to give up. Maybe give up on me and how I say things. I can totally understand that. That totally is not a mystery to me. So then we get into a real tough one, the mysteries of men, women, and kids pleasing God. People don't understand that there's differences there. What kids are being taught in schools? Are they being taught to be the men? Are they being taught to be the ladies? No. And it goes on, you know. We'll explore and explain and understand the mystery of God's mysteries, or whatever, of life's mysteries, of God's goodness versus the severity of God. Bible correctors. We'll look at those guys. These are things kids are going to run across. These are things teenagers hear all the time. They don't hear the Paul stuff all the time, but, you know, this other stuff. Election. When a pastor can show you in Ephesians chapter 1, it says right here, well, that's not what it says you're saying. How do you miss that? Read the whole verse. So we'll look at these things. We'll explore these things a little bit. We'll explain them. And there should be an understanding. Like I said this morning, unfortunately, when we teach this stuff and look at this stuff, like Paul says, why am I your enemy? Because I teach you the truth. I tell you the truth. We will become an enemy to more people as we explain these things. I guess people would rather worship an unknown God, as Paul so fantastically puts it in Acts. They would rather just worship away and figure, well, I like it, so God must like it. God hasn't stopped me, so let's just go on with it. You know, God loves everybody. God loves everything. And these Paul guys, these Bible guys, see, you can't even say a Bible guy anymore because these Bible guys are so flaky with their walk and the way they've abused their wives and abused their children and have been called to here and called to there and changed here and changed there and gone into debt for God and all this kind of stuff. At least I can say my debt is stupid because of me. I'm not going to say I did something so God would bless it and I'm in debt. No, I'm just in debt this last year because I'm stupid. I mean, what can I say? So, those are the things we'll deal with between now and when school starts again in August, I imagine, I hope. There's enough in there to keep us busy for a while, and there's enough in there. And keep in mind, I'm going to try to do this as if I were talking to a teenager. I know there's some teenagers out there that could tune in if they wanted, if they were allowed to or whatever. Or maybe the parents or the families that listen to these have teenagers, and they got to realize what they're up against. So one of the first things I'll deal with after this stuff tonight and this week, because when the concert will be over, I'm done. I cannot wait for this all to be settled down. We're going to be talking to teenagers the first thing. I'm going to try to, and I'll tell you, since I thought about this, I have not been able to get it off my stressed mind. How would I teach this stuff, you know, to a teenager? To a teenager who has no clue but thinks they know everything. Or to a teenager who's lost their parents, a divorce, a death or something. Or a teenager who's got some supposed mental issues, psychology issues, psychiatry issues, mental issues, which most cases they probably don't. But now that they take the meds that they do, as they call them, the meds, they can't think straight. Is the Bible, a King James Bible, that hard for a teenager to deal with? No, I'll deal with that. So if a teenager wants to listen in on this stuff, it'll be here. I'll set it up on the website as a site for kids. I don't know how I'll put that thing. Can't really call them kids. They like to think that they've arrived. Been there, you know, done that kind of a thing. So don't let me scare you folks away talking to teenagers and all, because this will be good for us and how we talk to people. Because it isn't just teenagers that don't get this stuff. It's these are adults. These are educated, schooled, Bible-schooled adults that cannot grasp the soul simplicity and the plainness of Paul's speech and how fantastic this Bible is when it's rightly divided, not by verse, but by what Paul wrote. It explains all of these things. So, with that in mind, let's review this morning just a little bit for those, you know, it's kind of good for me anyway to review. We looked at Isaiah chapter 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we realize God is still God here. And these are, I hate to use the phrase, wild and crazy things to study, but they are. And yet how God, see in Romans chapter, I'm just winging it, Romans chapter 1, people are very good at making Romans chapter 1 verse 23, and change the glory of their uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. See, they don't understand God because they try to picture God like they would picture him. No, that's not possible. God is God. And yet, when God offered himself as the lamb, in Exodus, I think it is 2 or 12 or whatever that is. Let's see here. Exodus goes way back. I mean, there's some things to learn back here. Is it 12 or is it 2? I don't remember. Let me see if I can find it. Probably wasn't even Exodus, you know. I sure thought it was 12, though. Something 12. No. Let's check one more thing, and I'm totally speaking without thinking on this one. If anybody knows this thing, probably the Passover stuff. And God will provide himself a lamb, is what it says. It doesn't say God will provide himself, or provide for them a lamb. It says provide himself a lamb. So, and it said, Timothy says that when he says God manifests himself in the flesh. So, God knows what it's like to be a man, to be a person. And so, God was able to deal with this stuff through the risen Savior, through Paul, through a King James Bible. Now, when we looked this morning, we looked at the fact that, you know, this is the way of God. And we know in Luke chapter 20, Mark, Matthew chapter 22, that these guys say to Jesus, so we know that you teach the way of God. You teach the way of God. And yet we also know that in Paul's situation, Apollos was taught by Aquinas and Priscilla, I think the names are, that they taught to this guy, Apollos, who was good on the way of God as a preacher kind of a guy. They taught to him a more excellent way. And this is what Paul called, they taught him the way of God more perfectly. Perfectly, not meaning less mistakes, meaning more finished, more completed. And then Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's a more excellent way. It's not better than, it's not more correct than the Gospels, it's the Gospels plus the frosting. And actually, I shouldn't even say the Gospels plus the frosting, because we don't mix them together. The Gospels are the Gospels. It says in Romans 15:8 that Christ was a minister of the circumcision, as was Peter. So Jesus was there. He came to minister to the Jews. He didn't come to minister to the Gentiles. He came to minister to the Jews so the Jews could go out and tell the Gentiles about this Christ. So that's the way of God, and the way of God more perfectly. And so we go to Revelation chapter 10 here. Go to the other side of the book now. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, we see, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel," tribulational stuff, "and when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets." So we have here the end. The mystery of God. Just the mystery of God. Who is God? I mean, what is all this? From Genesis to Revelation, what is all this that has taken place? Most people seem to think it's just something man put together. How could man put together this kind of a thing? You know, it's pretty wild. It's called the Gospel of the Kingdom in Revelation. And we know that this mystery, as it's called here in Revelation 17:5, "And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth." We know Revelation 21, this is all going to be made new again. Then it's the end. The mystery of God will be finished. And everybody will know what they need to know. It says here, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And yet people think today, this is what's going on. But, you know, we know that in Corinthians, Paul says, you know, God's in us. We know that. We're the temple of God. But this is a physical situation they're talking about in the end here. "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them." That's physical. That's Revelation. And so we go back here a little bit, and we see in Luke chapter 8, Jesus tells these Jews that it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Then he says, "It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." He says that in four different places. So the Jews had their chance. It was given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, which they would have had while they were having a physical kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And it says in both of those verses, "It is given unto you to know." They could have had it. They could have known about it. But we know the story. They chose not to. They killed Stephen, and Christ went on to Paul, and we know that whole story. We know that he throws the Great Commission in there, right with Stephen, you know, and all these signs and wonders and healings and miracles and drinking poison and playing with deadly snakes and all this stuff was to take place. Well, it did. It showed signs that these folks had Jesus. I mean, they had him. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, right into that stuff. That's all Great Commission stuff. It took place. It's happened. But these, I'm telling you, these Baptist church guys and these modern Bible guys, when they call this stuff the Great Commission, they are teaching a Jewish thing, and it is so wrong. Because it comes with signs, wonders, healings, miracles, drinking poison, playing the deadly snakes. This is Mark 16. So we got people today that believe that. So what do you tell the teenager? Well, teenagers, you've got these people that believe this today. It's in the Bible. And you got people over here that believe this, and they get bit by a snake and they died. But it says in this Bible, well, man didn't write the Bible right. No, there's a reason that it doesn't work today. So we see that the way of God was taught by Jesus. We see that the way of God more perfectly is taught by Paul. And it's going to be finished someday. So, that's the way of God. There's a process here. Way of God more perfectly, and then it's all finished. So, we should try to explain that to some kids sometime. Let's look at another thing here. Let's kind of get into the list here a little bit. So, we're looking at the mysteries of God. And this has to be according to a King James Bible, because the other Bibles don't present these mysteries this way at all. I mean, they just don't. It's that simple. So, I got a stash here. You can get on the website, like I say, and you can find all the details of each one of these mysteries. But I don't want to do that. I just don't want to go over those a whole lot. I'm more interested in getting into these mysteries of life. And I've got to be able to show these kids or these people or anybody that listens to this thing that the mysteries of life are explained and they can be understood only through a King James Bible that is rightly divided. You can't answer these questions truthfully and mix the Gospels with Paul's teachings. You can't take these questions that we've presented here and mix them with Peter and James. You can't even mix them with Paul when Paul wrote what he wrote to the Jews. And remember, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, he wrote that in Acts chapter 9 when he was first saved and he first learned what he learned and presented to the Jews that Christ was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And that's what he said. That's what Hebrews is Paul speaking to the Jews at that time. So we can't even use that today. So, for example, here's a mystery. The Bible calls it a mystery. And yet he also tells us that we don't need to be ignorant of it. Romans 11:25, we'll call that our first mystery of God. We won't get into the mysteries of life until I have a little bit better chance to think about it and study them and put them through my brain as the days go on here. So we're going to take on the mysteries of God tonight, and I don't know if Mark, you want to do Wednesday night, or if you're all done with that stuff, we can pick it up on Wednesday night. It might be pretty tight because my concert is on Thursday. I'm probably going to have a rehearsal that night if I can get the kids to come. I mean, they're all farm boys. They all live miles away and everything. We'll see. We'll wing it for Wednesday night. But we will get into these mysteries of God in the Bible here real quickly. And then when this concert stuff is over, we will jump into these mysteries of life. I'm looking forward to explaining life to myself as well as anybody that wants to listen. I'm looking forward to studying these things, you know. Let's look at the list. And if you got questions or comments, throw them this way. We'll add them to my list, and I'll try to get this stuff typed up. See, when school's out and the band is over, I can start typing up notes again. I can start doing more sermons on a weekly basis, not just Sundays and Wednesdays. I can probably toss some other ones in. I hope I can do that. So here we are. Let's look at number one here. Let's look at a quick one. This is easy. We talked about this before because it's an extremely important one to do with rightly dividing. Romans 11:25, King James Bible says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." Okay? Well, why does he want us to be ignorant? Because it says, "Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits." So, people don't understand this particular mystery. They've got the hearts on themselves. They think they're great Christians. They think that they've got it together. They think that they've got God's blessings because they're such good Christians. This is being wise in their own conceits. And you folks have listened the last couple of weeks, a month or so, you know I could talk about this, "Lest ye be wise in your own conceits." The people we have a hardest time to deal with this Paul stuff, I call it the Paul stuff. I used to call it the Greater Commission of Paul compared to the Great Commission given to Peter and those guys. The people we deal with the most are those that go to the Gospels, those that go to Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter. They go to those books for their doctrinal stuff. That's the Baptist, folks. That is the Baptist. They even go to, they go to Paul for baptism. No, you got that wrong. You go to Paul for the Lord's Supper. Come on, you've got that wrong. You think that you can do this stuff to please God, and as a result, you are wise in your own conceits because they are ignorant of this mystery, which is not a mystery because it can be explained with Paul, and that's what it says, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. That's a mystery? Well, it's a mystery explained. It says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, we could take the time, which we won't. We go to Romans chapter 11, and we go up there. We go up there to those different verses up there, and we see why this thing even came about. We have what we have because of the fall of the Jews. And as far as the fullness of the Gentiles might be come in, they call that the rapture, which is fine. I guess you can call it that. I've been called it the rapture for quite a while. I like to read Romans 11:20-22 to these folks. Because this is when the rapture is going to take place. Because there has to be a doctrinal change. There has to be a difference here. When the fullness of Gentiles be come in, then the blindness to Israel will no longer be there. You know, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Fullness of the Gentiles, so when the Gentiles are done with whatever God has allowed them to have. And what is that, pray tell? We go to Romans chapter 11, verse 22. I'm sorry, 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, that's the Jews, Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God was tough on these people. But towards thee, because he's talking to the Gentile nations, not the individual person, but to the Gentile nation, goodness, but towards thee, goodness. Okay? If thou continue in his goodness. That's the goodness of God. That is only taught by Paul. Then it says, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. When the Gentiles are cut off, then the Jews will no longer have that blindness, and the fullness of the Gentiles will have come in, and the Jews, tribulation. And then they get the Spirit of God put upon their flesh, Acts chapter 2, and this everlasting gospel is to be preached, Romans, Revelation chapter 16, I think it is, 14 possibly, and away it goes. But until then, we are not to be teaching the Jewish teachings to the Gentiles. We are to be teaching Paul's teachings, Paul's ways that he taught Timotheus to teach in the ways of Paul in every church. So as a result of that, as a result of the ignorance of this, people are wise in their own conceits. And they go on with thinking that God blesses them because they're such good Christians, because they don't understand Romans chapter 6, the first half of the chapter, which explains how Christ got rid of sin by taking care of the law. If there is no law, there is no transgression. Christ took care of the law, so there's nothing imputed as sin. So the main message from the risen Savior is not to stop sinning, not to walk in Christ's footsteps so you will stop sinning. He's not going to chastise or punish you because you're getting off the trail. That will happen during the tribulation. And God will put the Spirit of Christ upon them in order to do it. So why do these people today think that they can walk sinningless, just because they know Jesus? There's not a generation yet that walked sinningless. Why do they think they are all of a sudden? Because they're wise in their own conceits. They don't understand what Christ went to Paul to teach. So, they are ignorant of this mystery. And it really doesn't have to be a mystery, but it is, because the pastors don't teach it, the Sunday school teachers don't teach it, parents don't teach it, teachers don't teach it. Paul people even don't teach it, because they get into the Paul mid-Acts crowd and they get into some other little things down the trail and they don't even teach the right stuff. What, are you so perfect that you can teach all the right stuff? No, not me, but this King James Bible, rightly divided, teaches all of us, including myself. I am looking greatly forward to this exploring the mysteries of life, explaining the mysteries of life, so we can understand the mysteries of life. I'm looking forward to that because it's just going to help me explain why things are the way they are. I don't like the way things are. I'm very irritated by it. I was reading in Jeremiah. I don't think I can find it right away. Just kind of flipped around and looked at Jeremiah today as I was doing nothing. And I saw a thing. I think it was the early part of Jeremiah. I have it marked. I probably can't find it again. He said, is it right here? He just said, good old Jeremiah, you know. Oh, I can't find it here. He just talks about I should have really looked at this thing. Maybe it's right here. Is it right here? It should be like right here. I'm weary with holding in. He wants to say what he wants to say. I know that feeling. I can't find it. But we just need to bear what we need to bear. This is B-E-A-R. These are going to be tough times. I mean, I'm going to discuss marriage challenges, going to discuss teenagers, to a teenager? What a fantastic opportunity. I only wish I knew I had some teenagers that were going to sit in and listen. It helps me. So, you know, having you folks, I'm just bunting trail now, having you folks there to see your names up just charges me up to get going into this thing. Doesn't take much during the week to think, oh, wine, you know, the Eeyore stuff, oh, the money, the finances, the stress, the family problems, the school problems, the national curriculum coming in. These kids are just into telephones and games, and they're brainless. They're be given drugs for this and that and whatever. And it's like, oh, woe is me. Eeyore, just, he's got it down, you know. Let's look into the book and let's go through that stuff together. Anyway, let's get back on the trail here. So there's the first mystery. The blindness in part has happened to Israel. Come on, people out there in the world. Why don't you see this stuff? You don't get it. And for those of you that think you're Christians because you are, quote, born again, which is baloney, which you have committed your life to Jesus, you have made a commitment to God, all these things, you were baptized, or you confessed your sins at the altar, all these things, it's balagna. It's just good old-fashioned balagna. Okay, so there's one. How are we doing on a time basis here? Should we take on a second one? Because, let's look at this thing here. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, just for a second here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man so account of us as of the minister of Christ, as stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, I had been taught by a Baptist pastor who was taught by Dr. Ruckman, who was taught by Jack Hiles, who was taught by a pastor who taught me that these mysteries, you know, they're still mysteries, and we need to be a good steward of these mysteries. Well, a good steward of these mysteries is taking people and telling them, showing them what these mysteries are, and showing them how these mysteries work. Explain them, understand them. That's being a good steward of the mysteries of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, which we know Paul did, Jeremiah 5, bunny trail for the web finder, Jeremiah 5:31. It seems about that right, general area, 5:31. No, but it's really close to there. And now you got me back looking again here. You looked up the word bear, didn't you? B-E-A-R. Well, why don't I do that? I'm just wasting time here. Let's just pop up this thing here. We'll go to Jeremiah. Uh-oh, slow machine will probably shut down everything here. Nope, here we go. Well, that was dumb. I went to the New Testament. If I remember correctly, Jeremiah is in the Old Testament. So we go over here, pull it up. We have no excuse not to know our Bible. We can find questions like this fast. Okay, bear. Okay, bear, bear. What was me? There it is. Jeremiah 10, verse 19. Popped right out of me here. Woe is me for my heart. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. Hey, we're going to do a Jeremiah sermon sometime. Nah, let's stay out of there. You know, woe is me for my heart, for my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly, this is grief. This is a grief. What is going on today is a grief, but we have to bear it. So, if there's anything I'd like to do, and that's go through Nehemiah. Again, the first six chapters, and show folks that if you want to try to get your life fixed, you want to try to fix any of these things and increase your spiritual walk as such, that I can tell you the six things that Tobias and Sanballat do to Nehemiah because he's trying to fix the walls of Jerusalem. Those six things I guarantee will happen to you as you try to fix your life or fix your marriage or fix your walk or fix whatever. Those things happen every time. It's an absolute fantastic series out of Nehemiah. But let's get back on the trail here. Paul says, although I have the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 13, 2, he says, and understand all mysteries. Okay, so if Paul understands all mysteries, and Paul teaches us about these mysteries, we also can understand all mysteries. What Paul is trying to get us to see here, and it says here, and all knowledge, although I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. So yes, we have to have charity. But one thing we've noticed about charity, another bunny trail, is this charity is only offered to the brethren. Okay? And we also realize that when we talk about charity, when that which has come, which is the King James Bible, charity took a second place. Charity is no longer the number one spot on the charts. It's prophecy, it's the truth, it's the preaching from a King James Bible that we're to follow. Instead of people using charity as an excuse to love everybody and put up with everybody and all this kind of stuff, that's not the case. So, see, Paul understands all this stuff. So Paul understands this stuff, so can we. And Paul does talk to, let me check here, it's either Titus or Timothy. He does talk to teenagers. Come on now. He does talk about teenagers in Timothy. So Paul knows what to tell teenagers. He knows what to tell them. So let's explore that stuff and let's dig into that stuff. Okay, so time-wise here, we looked at the mystery of the blindness in part has happened to Israel, and it is not a mystery. We explored it, we looked into it, we can explain it, and we understand it, and we see what happens to people who don't. And Paul says to be a good steward of these mysteries, so we're going to pass them on. And Paul understands them, so can we. And then we're going to expand in about a week or so into these mysteries of life and see if we can't, as Christians, help these poor kids who are just headed for the tribulation. There's just no doubt about it to me that that's where they're heading, and which is really sad. I did have a chance to talk to two teachers about a month ago about how things are going. You know, they're talking about this, I talked about that. I said, well, have you folks ever heard of the tribulation? I mean, I have to apologize. I don't mean to be talking Bible all the time, but this is where you find out about what's going on. I said, you can really learn about this stuff. It's just fascinating stuff that's going on, you know. And it is. It is. So we got a chance to talk about it a little bit, carefully, of course. And like Jeremiah says, he's so tired of holding it in. He just wants to tell people stuff. So anyway, well, let me pop the website thing.